The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
Welcome back to Flourish and Fulfilled. Today's topic is one that I feel so many of us can relate to, and it's the constant checking to make sure if the kids' appointments have been booked and the mental to-do lists from like dental appointments every 6 months to haircuts to ensuring that the kids have care and everything in between that we just subconsciously do without even mentally thinking about or planning it. If you haven't heard of the term mental load, then the chances are you're currently living your life with a brain full of to-do lists, ensuring that everyone else is where they need to be and uniforms are clean, dinner's on, and you happen to know where that lost football sock is from last week without even realizing that you took note of where it might be because you just know for a fact they're going to ask you where the bloody sock is. Trust me, I get it. It's a juggle. Mental load is a fairly recent term that's used to describe the added burden of being responsible for managing the entire household, the family, partnership, your profession, your day in and day out for everybody else. It's the invisible work that covers tasks like thinking, planning, and organizing. The mental load is all the household management that we didn't sign up for, but somehow just do. It is the organizing, the list making, the planning, all of the managing of your life, but also all of those that are dependent on you also. Most of us carry around some form of mental load, and whether that be in regards to work, household responsibilities, financial obligations, your personal life, whatever makes up that burden and how it's distributed within households is not always equal. Now, don't get me wrong, because I'm certainly an open feminist and I strive for gender equality. I also just want to back this with census data, and it clearly shows that within Australia, Australian women spend on average 5 to 14 hours per week in unpaid domestic work, whereas men spend less than 5 hours a week. Women also spend an additional half a day looking after children. So I just wanted to throw that out there because whilst I know that my episodes are always targeted at women and there's 99% women on there, I would also like to say that I know for a fact that there are men out there also who do a lot in a household to contribute. And I know for a fact that like in my marriage, we definitely worked very hard to stop that gender divide. And in our particular instance, it was definitely the other way around. So the basis of today's episode is to provide awareness of the mental load and definitely not to throw shade on gender either way. The mental load is something that you carry even subconsciously and how you communicate it effectively to your partner to ensure that you create an equal partnership, that you both can share the load. And I know that there's like a lady that I follow online, Uncanny Annie. And one year she decided to cancel Christmas and she kind of just said, fuck it. And what she did was she told her partner that this Christmas is one that she's not going to be organizing anything and it's unfair that she has to. And I'm fully for that because what ends up happening is us as women just take the role of organising Christmas in so many different ways, from organising presents for the kids to organising Christmas lunch, Santa photos, making sure that all the family presents are bought. And essentially she just said, I'm not doing it this year, it's all you. And then she documented that online and it was so funny to watch. And admittedly, other than him forgetting the Santa photos, which again was also a pretty funny thing to watch online, he did a really good job. However, it wasn't until I saw this a few years ago online that I was like, yes. So many of us just take the role of making sure everything is done without even considering or thinking or consciously putting aside the time that why is it the mum or the woman's responsibility to have to organise all these additional things? About a year before Nathan and I actually split, I very much did the same thing. And as a working mum, I felt like I have so much pressure on me to make the money, raise the kids, be the perfect wife, manage the household. And after a serious burnout, I just went like, I can't do this. I can't do it all. I can't do all of this anymore. And it was hard. And I never wanted another woman to kind of experience that burnout and feel like the only option is to do nothing and to just say, fuck it, I can't do it, instead of actually being able to healthily communicate to change things and to make it equal so that it's not always that burden on you. And one of those big changes was the fact that I learned that if I have to do it because it won't be done right is not a reasonable reason to do something. So let's say I felt like if my partner had to be in charge of the grocery shopping, that there was either never enough food or I would have to write down every single aisle of where things were at, or they would end up buying the wrong brand, or it was just so much harder for me to end up having to ask them to do it. So if I had to go through all of that effort of doing it, what was the point in asking anyway? And the entire point of this is that we shouldn't have to ask. Like, who appointed us the managers of the household? And nagging is another form of mental load. No one should have to nag, men or women, because it's not only degrading to our partner, but also to ourselves, because we're nagging for basic equal expectations. It's not something that any of us should actually have to do. If you see that the bathroom is dirty, and then so can your partner. If you can create a cleaning schedule, then so can your partner. And so I've often heard these episodes and mental load spoken about that if you as a woman can create a whole cleaning schedule that your partner will be able to work with you and know what needs to be done. But your partner can also do that too. There's so many incidences where this actually occurs, from organizing childcare to choosing schools to making sure that uniforms are clean. There's so many different things that just end up falling onto us. I also understand here that everybody has different strengths and weaknesses. And I know that from personal experience, my partner was actually a clean freak. So him making the bed and cleaning was a lot more thorough than me actually doing so. So cooking and being in charge of the cooking for myself and the family was a better option for me to manage than the cleaning. However, because there was different distributions within the household, it didn't all rely on me. So when you think about all of the things in life that we have to manage, it becomes super overwhelming. And I want to reassure and encourage you all here to actually stop and reflect on this, because there are so many different subconscious decisions and brain power and endless thoughts that we're holding onto in our mental load without even realizing it. And if you look at the very, just like the top level household with no children, you still have the bills like rent or mortgage, electricity, internet, water. When do all of those come out? Is there money in the account? Did you research the best rates? Who's mowing the lawn? Who's even going to mow the lawn? Are you going to get a gardener in? And who's organizing the gardener? Even down to cleaning. How often do you change the sheets? Are the bathrooms cleaned? Who organizes this? If the toilet paper runs out, who buys this? And is there a system? So like for myself, I'll see that there's 5 rolls left and I'll make sure that we've organized a new box of toilet paper. And there's so many different things in regards to that we do without even thinking it. But what happens if we just stopped? Who would even notice if the toilet paper ran out, the body wash ran out, and there was no shampoo? How long would that take before someone would be like, oh, I may need to pick up the load here? Perhaps you look at groceries. What are you guys going to have for dinner each night? Is the fridge cleaned out? Do you both help when the fridge needs to be cleaned out? And that's just for a top level household in regards to no children, no pets. I always laugh when I see the memes, either way, about gifts for your partner's parents. And I am so guilty of this, that I would always buy my in-laws gifts for their birthdays or Father's Day or Mother's Day. And my partner wouldn't even know what was in it, because they wouldn't even have any idea, because I would purchase it because if I didn't, it wouldn't get done. And as I would gift it to them, he would be just as surprised as what they were. And it would always come that morning. And it's just those little things of making sure that if that wasn't done, who was going to do it? So as you can see, when you analyze all the small things, it actually becomes huge, big things. And it's like an organizational wheel of decisions that you constantly have to make without even thinking about making those decisions. I know the biggest thing for me to see a huge shift in our family dynamics, and remember here that I do have teenage boys too, was a family diary. So whilst, yes, I am still in essence managing the entire household, I would do this on a Sunday with everyone's appointments, sports, uniform days, groceries, meal planning of dinners, any chores for the kids or any other events that need to go into the diary. And if the kids asked me something, even if they knew the answer, and even though I knew it might be easier just to tell them, I would start by telling them to refer to the diary so that eventually they stopped actually asking and would always go back and look in the diary to check. And that created an entirely different pattern of behaviour that rather than coming to me, they would first check. It meant that if they knew that the chores needed to be done, the days that the bins that they needed to go out and whatever else within the house had to be organised. And it also helped as well, because if my partner wanted to help me out or could see that I was stressed, they could check into the diary to see what needed to be done. And that way they were able to help or support in different ways without me having to nag or consider what they could be doing. And so how do we actually stop with the invisible load or mental load? And I think the first key thing here is to communicate it with your loved ones or those in your household. And communication is always key to almost everything. And I understand that this may work in a small, this won't work in a small amount of time, and it goes back to normal, or perhaps you start a diary and the kids become really accustomed to it, but it's still taking a lot of load in regards to you doing that every Sunday. Maybe you need to set aside certain tasks or responsibilities for each individual. And let's say that your partner does all the outside of your house and outside of school activities, and you do all the meals and groceries. It still allows you that mental space to not have to consider picking up kids from football or driving them to here or signing them up to gymnastics. And it allows you to stay in your own lane in regards to the mental load of what you're carrying for all of the meals, groceries, and shopping. And if you're feeling incredibly undervalued and overworked, then I definitely encourage you all to quit for a little while, and controversially maybe. And I know that it's scary and the whole house will turn to shit and your family will definitely freak out. But sometimes I think it's kind of the best way for everyone to understand in regards to how much you actually do by stopping doing it. And even if it's only for a week, it will really open up everybody's eyes in regards to how much you do. Once you've gone on strike and everybody realizes that something has to change, then I think you'll learn to delegate a lot easier in regards to what people should be able to help within that mental load and within the household. Firstly, though, remember to reduce your expectations, not only of yourself, but of your family or partner. And I'm sure that if you're like me, you would have found yourself frantically cleaning the house before guests come over. And something that I've really had to remember is that if I have guests coming over, they're not coming to see my showroom clean house. They don't care. They're coming to enjoy my company and spend time with me. And they're in fact more likely to feel comfortable if my house feels exactly the same as theirs, lived in or like a home. It doesn't have to be showroom clean. And I think learning to surrender and stop trying to have that charade of being perfect. It's just enough to be able to delegate and like spend your time really wisely in regards to making sure that the things that matter are for yourself to do, and the rest of it is delegated to those that can do it as well. This might mean putting your partner in charge of perhaps the school fete decorations and your child in charge of packing their own lunch. It might mean allocating the responsibility for general household tasks to different family members. Or perhaps it's delegating responsibility that allows you to not have to always cook. And whatever that might actually look like for yourself is stepping back to be able to support the others in your household of being able to learn from their mistakes too. And especially with kids, remember that kids learn from making mistakes. And I think that's the biggest thing here to remember is I know that with my boys, they cook 3 nights a week. And when they first started out, sometimes the dinners would definitely not be amazing. However, in order for them to be able to learn from that, they had to give it a go. And that's changed the way that they are, not only within the household, but also understanding that it's not my responsibility to pick up their rubbish whenever they go. That's not my responsibility for them to take their socks off. And I will just say here, I have a 14-year-old son. So if you have a 1-year-old, it's definitely your responsibility. Well, it's you and your partner. However, it definitely stopped them when I quit from picking up from them all the time for them to actually start making changes. The next point here is to stop judging. And it includes your friends, your family, but also yourself. Having a friend that like always picks up their child perhaps like 2 minutes after school care or childcare or school closes, and we find ourselves judging. Perhaps it's your friend who never irons her clothes. Stop judging. You don't know what she's going through. You might have, perhaps your husband thinks it's okay to have cheese toasties for breakfast, lunch and dinner. Stop judging. And rather than judging all the time, start accepting and shifting the norms in regards to being able to have that domestic gender equality. Remember that time blocking as well and making time together to connect to ensure that your emotional needs are met so that it's not just this constant chore and tasking of making sure the household is upkept or maintained. I know that small considerations make all the differences in regards to myself and acts of service. If acts of service are your primary love language, then this will be a huge one for you too. I love it when I know that I don't have to follow up if something is done. I love it when I get home and the groceries are done or dinner is made. I love it that my partner can see if something needs to be done and they fix it or they organize for it to be fixed instead of me having to call a handyman or get something organized. It's something that I'm like, oh, wow, that was done without me having to consider that. I'm not a nagger as a personality. It's just not something. I would rather do it myself as a hyper-independent, which is just the way that I am. And feeling like I don't have to nag, it teaches me that there's integrity of the word in regards to something being done without me having to follow up or follow through. However, if I see that something needs to be done and somebody says, I'll do that, and they don't, they lose the integrity of their word, and therefore it makes it harder for me to feel confident that I won't have to take that on or take on that mental load or mental burden of checking to see if that was done next time. And there's so many different instances in regards to this that can be seen in a household. Let's say the lawn needs to be mowed and it's been a month and it's really embarrassing to you because the grass out the front is so overgrown and you feel really embarrassed by it, but your partner has told you for the last 3 weeks that it's going to be mowed, and you end up just cracking it and organizing a lawnmower or gardener to come and mow it for you. And then from there on, you can never trust that they're going to actually mow the lawn, so then it becomes quite an issue for you guys. So having integrity of knowing that somebody is going to follow through in regards to what they say is huge. As women, I believe it's our job to speak and change the generation that we're currently living in so that it does make a difference for our daughters and sons, and to raise them without the stereotype of the women having to be the ones that manage the house, work, does Christmas, keeps the family together. Because in this day and age, women end up working the exact same amount as men. And I just find that it is so insane that I know for myself, it is still a massive issue that I have to work towards all the time. And even when I put so many things in place in regards to having a digital calendar and a family diary and all these other things to stop this mental load, the day-to-day of it is huge. And I made a point earlier on in the episode in regards to dental appointments, but 6 monthly dental appointments hang over your head. Then you've got everything from podiatrist appointments to shoe fittings to uniforms to gymnastics, and just constantly having to remember all of those different things in regards to what kids are doing, where they need to be, groceries, and then managing the household. It is a huge task that we subconsciously take on board. So I'm hoping that some of you want to actually push back on that and encourage you all to push back on that. And if you are working and you live in a household where it's both yourself and your partner working, why does it always have to fall back on you to be responsible for managing the whole house? And I truly hope that this episode resonates with some of you out there and you decide to make a change so that your daughters and sons can see that change as well. And I know that for me, it's been massive of being able to actually say, nah, fuck this, I'm not doing this anymore, and push back, because otherwise, who's going to make the change? Our kids? So yeah, I hope that resonates with you today. Probably a bit more of a rant than anything, but mental load is real. And I do encourage you all to take a break, push back, delegate, even if it means that it's not perfect. Now, this week's bookworm, I'm going to do two. One that resonates really well for this episode, but one that I've already done for bookworm, is The Queen's Code. It'll encourage you all to be able to find a way to communicate with your partner effectively rather than having to nag them or make them feel undermined. It'll really help you in that communication. And this week's bookworm is Breath, The New Science of a Lost Art by James Nestor, in regards to breath work and the way that we breathe. So really good book there as well. If you guys want to get involved or have an episode suggestion, you can call the caller hotline on 07-56-49-6851. Or to continue the conversation in the closed Facebook group, it is Flourish and Fulfilled, or on Instagram, Flourish and Fulfilled. I'd really love to hear your thoughts and opinions on today's episode in regards to mental load and whether it's something that's real for you as well. So please just drop me a comment on Instagram. And as always, I would love for you to review the podcast too. Bye, guys.